morning. It's great to see all of you and be here. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. My family had a great Christmas. Christmas Eve night, my daughter Avery, who's 8, came running into our bedroom. "Dad, he came." I looked at the clock. It's 2 a.m. I said, "Avery, it's 2 o'clock in the morning." She said, "I know, but I'm just so excited." I said, "Well, you're going to have to wait just a little bit longer and go back to bed." We got up another 5 hours later and had a great Christmas, so I hope you did as well. I want to welcome you here to our Carmel campus. We're so glad that you're here. I want to welcome our Fishers campus and our Greater Lafayette campus, and we're just delighted that you're here today. Well, let me begin, and we'll ask God to bless our time together. Father God, we just come before you, and it's so great to worship you, to praise you for being an amazing, just grace-filled, merciful God. Thank you for your great love. God, right now, I just lift up our military families to you. God, I know a lot of them are separated this time of year, and God, we just lift them up. Thank you for the sacrifices that they make on behalf of our country, God. I just pray that you'd protect them. I just lift up those families to you. God, thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ, and God, we thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States. God, we just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would speak. I pray that my words would be your words, that you would encourage us, you'd challenge us. Help us to be more like you, God. Pray that you'd bless our time together. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, if you work in marketing and design, you know how important branding is. And I ran across this a few weeks ago and thought it was really funny. What if brands were honest with their slogans? Let me preface this by saying if you work for one of these companies or you like one of these products, we're just having some fun. Don't take this too serious. So what if brands were honest with us? For instance, here's this first one. IKEA, we throw in extra parts just to mess with you. If you've ever tried to put something together from IKEA, you know how frustrating it can be. And wondering, what are these extra parts for? Here's another one. Bic, you probably didn't buy it. And then you're wondering, how did I get all of these Bic pens you just walked out with? This is one of my favorites. I have a 10-year-old son. Lego, the bane of your foot's existence. How many of you in the middle of the night have stepped on a Lego piece, especially with the sharp end sticking up? Probably said something you should have said. Gillette, we're just going to keep adding more blades. Seriously, how many more blades can you come up with? I mean, pretty soon it's going to be the size of your face. All right, this is a good one. WebMD, convince yourself that you have a terminal illness. It's never good to go on there and try to self-diagnose. Just go to the doctor. Just go to the doctor. This is so me. This is so me. Netflix. Spend more time searching than actually watching. 2 days ago, no joke, I spent 15 minutes searching to try to find something. Finally, I gave up. I don't know. I can't find anything. McDonald's, because you only have $4. Or you have a dollar and you really want a Coke in a styrofoam cup. I love the styrofoam cups there. Which leads into Pepsi. You're at a restaurant, you ask for Coke, they say, "Is Pepsi okay?" No. It's not. I want a Coke. I want a Coke. Pepsi when there's no Coke. That's it. All right, iTunes. I have not read the terms and conditions, nor will I ever. I will just press agree. And finally, Hamburger Helper. Mom's tired. I mean, it's been a busy Christmas season. It's Hamburger Helper tonight. All right, Mom's tired, kids. Well, today, we are finishing our series, Unwrapped, and I'm going to be talking about hope. Hope is a powerful thing. However, I believe our culture has branded hope. Here's what it's been branded as: a wish or wishful thinking. Let me give you some examples. You might have driven here today and said, "I hope the message is good," or "I hope Timmy will stay in his class in Northview Kids today." Maybe before Christmas, as you were getting gifts for loved ones or preparing the big meal, you were praying, "Lord, I hope this goes well. I hope everyone gets along. I hope Grandpa doesn't tell those dirty jokes again this year. I hope everyone likes their gifts. And what I have found is that we use this term a lot. We even pray using the word hope as the definition of wishful thinking or optimistic thoughts. When we hope that our favorite ice cream is in stock at the local ice cream joint, that is an optimistic thought. However, if we called ahead and talked to the manager and he assures us that chocolate brownie would be there and there would be enough until I come, that is hopeful trust. I now have put my hope in the manager and believe that he will do what he said. So pull your notes out if you haven't already. You see, hope is only as valuable as the person or thing in which we place it. Hope is only as valuable as the person or thing in which we place it. So let me ask you, what is your hope in? Is it your financial security, and as you get more financially stable, you feel more at peace? Is your hope in your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend? Is your hope in yourself, because you will find a way to make things happen? No matter what hole you get yourself in, you can dig yourself out of. You don't need help. You will do this on your own. If you need God, you'll let him know. Is your hope in your education, because it will pave the way for your future and possibly a big paycheck? Is your hope in your career? Is your hope in your kids, because they are everything to you? We can put our hope in ourselves, others, our kids, our finances, our jobs, in things or in people, but at some point they will fail us. They will let us down. They won't come through. They'll disappoint us. And that hope becomes wishful thinking or an optimistic thought. And there's a difference in the type of hope that we often think about and biblical hope. Biblical hope is never based on what's possible with man. Biblical hope looks away from man to the promises of God, the expectation of great things from God. Hope that the Bible defines is this: a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. There is moral certainty in it. You can say it this way: hope is confident expectation. Confident expectation. And so there's a difference in hope as a wish and biblical hope, which is confidence and certainty. So what is the certainty that we hope for in Christ? Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 6, or if you have a smartphone, you can open up your YouVersion app to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to be in the NIV version. You can follow along on the screen here too. It says, "People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath." He didn't have to, but he did. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, enters on our behalf. He has become a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So let me give you some context about the book of Hebrews. It's written to Jewish Christians who are struggling greatly. They were struggling to keep following Jesus because of their culture and the choice that they made to follow him. And when they chose to follow Jesus, they lost their stance in society, and many in their own families disowned them. They were told Jesus was coming back soon, and because of their interpretation of the word soon, they sold everything that they had and were now waiting for Jesus to return in the next hour. Like in the next hour. But in reality, they misunderstood the time frame Jesus was talking about. Jesus said, "Go tell the world about me, then I will come back." And so the book of Hebrews is encouraging these believers to not lose faith based on circumstances. It's saying, "I know it's tough. I know you might be wanting to give up, but remember, we have a hope that is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Our hope is not in a thing, person, or some wishful thinking. It's based on Jesus Christ. A real person who by divine powers was human and God at the same time. Because of our sin, Jesus got up from his seat in heaven and set aside his deity and became a man. He came and lived on this earth. He had siblings and parents and knew what having a crazy family was all about. Jesus grew up and his dad Joseph taught him a trade, being a carpenter. And if you've ever listened to Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, he has a funny little piece on this and says, Jesus, I know you healed my son, but could you build me some shelves right here as well? I'm sure somebody asked him to do that. Well, in fact, the Bible tells us he went through the same type of temptations, desires, had the same type of problems that you and I go through. And at the age of 30, he began his ministry. He called 12 unlikely, ordinary guys that were said, who were nobody special, and said, follow me. The Bible says he never sinned, and he did a whole lot of miracles, healing a blind man so he could see, a lame person so he could walk, raised the dead back to life, fed thousands with sardines and crackers. And while living a life of love, he chose the path of suffering. He chose to walk the road to a cross where he willingly was beaten, spit on, and took a death sentence he didn't deserve. And he did that for you, and he did that for me. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead and was seen by more than 500 witnesses. And this really happened in history, and it's recorded not just in the Bible, but in other places. Jesus becomes our hope, and no longer does sin and death have a grip on us. We have been rescued and set free. Because Jesus gives us salvation, we receive hope from him. And when we give our life to God, he places hope in our heart. The living Savior, therefore, is the basis for our confidence in our hope. The resurrection is the foundation of our certainty that we have eternal life and that we experience daily the indwelling presence of our Savior. I love this passage in Colossians chapter 1. This is New Living Translation, starting in verse 20. It says, through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Isn't that amazing? But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance that you received when you heard the good news. And that is good news. Hope is this. We were separated from God, but now we are reconciled to God. It goes even further. When we invite Christ into our lives, God now lives in us. Hope is only as powerful as what it's connected to. Last November, we had a small tornado that had gone through the greater Lafayette area, damaged an elementary school and some homes. A family at our greater Lafayette campus was even one of the properties that was greatly damaged. Now, my family has an issue with storms, just being transparent with you. I went through a tornado as a child, traumatized me. Dawn and I used to live in Joplin, Missouri, where the sirens went off constantly 3 out of 4 seasons, so the Weather Channel and basements are our friends. We knew that day that bad weather was heading our way, but we weren't sure how bad until the tornado sirens started going off. We were ready, but slightly freaking out. We rushed to the basement, and Dawn was getting blankets to sit on and clearing out a space under the stairs to huddle in. Bike helmets have been involved. While Don and the kids are under the stairs, I keep creeping over to the basement window and looking out to see what's happening, and it looks bad. The wind is howling, and the trees are bent over. It looks bad. Within seconds of looking out the window, the power goes off, and I run over to under the stairs, and we all listen to the wind howl as it gets louder and louder. Our phones start to go crazy with people asking if we're okay because they, too, watch the Weather Channel. The storm passes and the whole Hootke clan climbs out, and we look outside to see trees down all across the street. We look down the street and see that a tree fell on a power pole, and the pole and the tree are both down. And this happened in November, so it's cold. And we figured that that the power would be back on in a few hours. So we say, okay, guys, let's just hang out for a little while. Let's bundle up, pretend we're living in the olden days. Let's play some games, bust out the books. You can play your electronic devices until they run out. This lasts about an hour. And the fun is wearing off. The good and old days aren't so fun. So Don and I take turns sitting in the car charging our devices. We wake up the next morning freezing with no power and decide to surrender and go to a friend's house. What we thought would be one day without power turned into a week without power. And we realized, without power, life is not the same. And in the same way, hope is our power source. It keeps us going. It keeps us focused and gives us perspective. And when our circumstances seem overwhelming, our hope in Christ becomes our anchor in this life. Hope is the promise of our salvation in Christ. Hope is only as powerful as what it's connected to. I don't want to anchor my life to some wishful thinking or some random philosophical thought. Hope is only as valuable as the person or thing in which we place it. My anchor is Jesus Christ. My hope is in Jesus. Picture yourself on a boat floating in the middle of a body of water. The anchor is what keeps us secure. It's what Jesus did for you and for me. And because of his death and resurrection, when we make the decision to invite Christ into our life, our hope becomes Christ. The anchor holds the boat. He anchors himself to you. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." And it's so easy at times to get disappointed, isn't it? You might have been disappointed with what you received for Christmas. You might have been disappointed with how the kids reacted to receiving their gifts. You might have been disappointed with how some family members acted during their Christmas visit. And the reason we get disappointed is that we have expectations in our mind. And when things don't work out like what we envisioned, we get disappointed. The word disappointment means a feeling of dissatisfaction when one's hopes, desires, and expectations fail to come to pass. Many times we place those expectations we have on God as well. When God somehow fails to satisfy our hopes or does not live up to our expectations, disappointment follows. Philip Yancey, in his book, Disappointment with God, says, "We tend to think life should be fair because God is fair, but God is not life. And if I confuse God with the physical reality of life by expecting constant good health, for example, then I set myself up for crashing disappointment." But I love this. True faith does not so much attempt to manipulate God to do our will as it does to position us to do his will. You see, his love and his hope will never disappoint. The Bible also says he anchors himself to us. Wow. He anchors himself to us. Some of you are trying to shake God off. This past year, you've done all you can try to do to shake him, but he's gripping you tight. He keeps reminding you that you can run, but he can run faster. He has a hold of you. And some of you are so tired and worn out, and you feel like you can't hold on to hope any longer. You feel like giving up. Friends, what if we realize that hope isn't dependent on how you feel? Would that free you? Would that give you hope? See, he's gripping you tight. He won't let you go. Our hope is not in our performances, our successes, or our failures. It's not dependent on us. Our hope is in God. He will not let you go. And no matter what you're going through, friends, we can know that we are in his grip. And he's got a hold of us. And he's gripping us tight. And in that boat, there will be waves and storms in life. And maybe you're going through some of those right now. Some of you have been let go from your job before the holidays, and you're wondering what you're going to do next. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Jesus is our hope. Maybe you're a single parent for the first time this year and dealing with all that comes with that during the holiday season, and you feel beaten up and depressed. Remember, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Jesus is our hope. And when life is out of control and we can't make sense of it, the only thing that we can come back to is the assurance and the confidence that God is faithful. He's in control. He's not worried. He's not anxious. God is on his throne and he is in charge. And we need to trust that he's got our best interests in mind. He loves you. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love this imagery of overflowing with hope. I think about a pitcher of water pouring out. And many times we pour out only to feel empty and depleted. Many of us don't overflow with hope because we depend on our own power, our own strength. We have nothing to pour out. When we depend on Christ, we can overflow with hope and peace and joy in our life. And as we look to 2015, here are a few ways we can overflow with hope. Obviously, there are a number of things we could look at, but here are just a few that I thought of. You can write these down in your notes. We can overflow with hope in 2015 by, number one, begin the day with God. Begin the day with God. I pray that all of us can start 2015 by starting out our day with God, getting our direction from him, being in the Word of God. God, that you're speaking to me, not social media, not the noise of all of this, but God, that I'm going to your Word and you're giving me direction for my day. You're giving me purpose. You're giving me the words that I can live by that will fill me up with hope and joy and peace so that I can pour out to others that day. I pray that we would have a passion for his word. You know, there are lots of devotional books that we can get. You know, on your smartphone or your tablet, there's the YouVersion Bible app. There's lots of different Bible plans that you can subscribe to, and it sends you email reminders to start those, and it's a great way to dive into the Word of God. You want to be more wise in 2015? How about reading the book of Proverbs, a chapter a day throughout the entire month? Do that for an entire year. You have read through the book of Proverbs 12 times. You will have more wisdom in your life. Let's begin the day with God. Let's have him fill us up so that we can pour out. Number two, say no and create margin in your life. Some of us are so busy. We're so maxed out. Our schedules are crammed. Our kids' schedules are so busy. And we have no margin in our life. And because of that, we're frustrated, we're burned out, we're tired, and we have no excitement for what God wants to do in our life. So maybe this next year we need to evaluate our schedules. We need to look at our calendars and prioritize, and maybe we need to say no to some good things so that can create margin, so that number three, we can say yes to God. Maybe we need to say no to some things that will create margin in our life so that we can say yes to God. And maybe for some of us, we've been attending for a long time. And maybe we need to say, yes, God, I'm going to start living out W+2. Or God, I want to say yes, and I want to get involved in a ministry here in the church or out in the community. Or maybe God's been speaking to you, and he's been calling you to something. And it's caused you to want, I don't know if I can do this. It's a risk. And if it scares you, it's probably from God. And maybe you need to say yes to him. Maybe you need to say yes to a mission trip in 2015. I don't know how God's speaking to you, but maybe we need to say yes to him. And because of that, we will overflow with hope and how God wants to use us for the kingdom of God. Number four, be more grateful. You know, the Apostle Paul talks a lot about this. You can read the book of Philippians, and what a great witness to be grateful in our life. You know, the world and our culture just loves to complain about everything, to look at the negative and to bring us down. But you know, we have so much to be grateful for, friends. We've been saved. God loves us. He has a purpose and plan for our life. We have so many blessings to be grateful for. And you know, saved people are grateful people. We have so much to be grateful for. You know, as Paul says, it's such a great witness to our workplace and our community and to our culture. And he says, when you're living grateful lives, we shine like the stars in the sky. People notice. They notice that gratefulness in our life. Number five, slow down to love people. I read a book a few weeks ago called Jesus Prom by a college friend of mine, John Weiss. Great book. I recommend for you this next year to read. He says, the more I love people, the more I fall in love with God. The more I fall in love with God, the more I love people. And I have found the reason I don't love people well at times is that I'm in a hurry too much. What if my focus was on people and not my hurried pace? I want to do more of that this next year. We have to remember that we're bringing hope to people. God wants to use us to spread hope. We're the conduit of hope to others. And when we love people, we overflow hope to those that need God's hope in their life. See, God is hope because he is the origin of hope. He's the object of hope. Hope begins with Jesus and is all about Jesus. We can be filled with peace and joy despite our circumstances. I want my life to overflow with hope, to exude hope. Work, you're not going to get me down. Family issues, you're not going to get me down. Feeling overwhelmed, you're not going to control my life. My power comes from the Holy Spirit, and I will draw from God today. He is my source of strength. He is my deliverer, and I will overflow with hope. Doesn't that sound good? And it's possible in your life and in my life. But let's be honest. It can be so easy to lose hope at times. It's easy to look at the waves and feel the wind rocking the boat. And sometimes it feels like we keep getting tossed here and there by life. And life isn't fair. And we wonder why things happen. What we forget is the anchor to our soul. We forget about the upper story. We lose sight of God. And we can't see the anchor. But the anchor is at the bottom, under the waves. We might not see it, but the anchor is at work. We might not see it, but the anchor is at work. Friends, you might not see God in your life or in your circumstances today, but under the surface, below the water, God is at work. He's moving. He's alive and he's active. And he's working. You see, we're not hoping in hope. We're not hoping in some optimistic thought. We're hoping in Jesus, a real person who is God. Nowhere in the biblical narrative is hope ever alone. And this tells you about the nature of hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13 talks about faith, hope, and love. Hope isolated by itself is a fish out of water. It has no power. But it's always mentioned with faith. It's mentioned with love. It's mentioned with Jesus, with death, burial, and resurrection. We're never alone. Our hope takes faith. And faith is an action step of trusting even if we can't see. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The anchor will hold us, but we have to trust that it will do what it says it will do. Hope is only as valuable as the person or thing in which we place it. A couple weeks ago, I finished a book called Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand. I was blown away by the true story of Louis Zamperini. What an incredible book. You might have read it or seen the movie that opened on Christmas Day. This is just my summary, but you're going to have to read this book. Louis was drafted to go to war and became a bombardier in the Air Force. After months of training, he was finally in the thick of war in the South Pacific, boarding the Green Hornet, which was a broken-down tank of a plane not suitable for flying. Louis's men were forced to use it to go on a search and rescue mission. Well, the plane lost two engines and crashed in the Pacific. Three guys survived the crash, and Louis was one of them. For 47 days, they floated in the South Pacific in hopes of survival. 47 days. They were on a life raft while starving to death with limited water. Sharks constantly circling. An enemy plane that came by and tried to kill them. They ended up counting 57 bullet holes in the raft, yet not one of them struck the men. So surviving 47 days on this life raft, he then gets captured and becomes a prisoner of war for 2 years. He is physically pushed toward death by starvation, disease, and brutal abuse. And through all of that, he survives. He comes home after the war and quickly gets married. However, with his celebrity and amazing story, Louis is plagued with flashbacks and bitterness toward his captors, and he's led to drown his pain with alcohol. On the verge of losing his marriage and his life, he goes to a Billy Graham crusade, where he leaves at the invitation time, only to come back reluctantly to hear Billy Graham one more time. This time, as he's leaving once again at the invitation, all of a sudden, God gives him this vision of being back on the raft in the middle of the ocean, and he remembers praying out to God to save him. He recalls miracles and how he's still alive, and right there, all of a sudden, he starts walking down the aisle, and he gives his life to Jesus Christ. His desire for alcohol left him. His flashbacks of the physical abuse he endured were gone. And most importantly, he had this love and motivation to forgive his captors that tortured him. He goes back to Japan and visits a prison where many of his captors were, and he forgives them, and he shares Christ with them. How could he do this? How does this happen? Friends, this happens because Louis's hope was not in his celebrity. It wasn't in his addictions. It wasn't in his own power. But his hope was in Jesus Christ that set him free. Christ became the anchor to his soul, and his forgiveness by Christ set him free so that he could go and forgive those that tortured and abused him. And what was bitterness turned into love. Only Christ can do that. Do you need to be set free? You see, Jesus is our hope, friends. He is our only hope. Psalm 33, verse 18 says, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you." Hope is only as valuable as the person or thing in which we place it. You know, this world is crazy right now. So much turmoil going on. Wars and cyber hacking, terrorism. There is uncertainty in the world. Yet, my hope is in Jesus. Jesus is our hope. Hebrews 6:19 says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Our hope in Christ is confident expectation, and we celebrate that today, and we remember his sacrifice that has given us hope. So when you came in today, you were given a little gift. So right now at all of our campuses, we are going to unwrap this together. We're going to unwrap hope. So go ahead and do that right now. So as you receive your communion elements, I want you to, it's a little tricky, to bend down on the tab, and then there will be a little wrapper that will come up that you have to peel first before you pull the tab. So together, here in a minute, we're going to remember our hope through communion. We remember his sacrifice for us. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was in an upper room with his 12 disciples, these guys, this band of brothers that he had spent 3 years with, doing life together, discipling, teaching, training. living day in and day out. And they gathered in this upper room, and Jesus took the bread, and he broke it. He said, guys, this is my body, broken for you. And every time you break the bread together, I want you to remember my sacrifice. I want you to remember that my body was broken for you. So church, together, let's take the bread. As you pull the tab. And after supper, he took the cup. He said, this cup represents the new covenant. This juice will represent my blood that's going to be shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. For your sin, for my sin. And every time you break the bread and you drink the juice together, I want you to remember my love. I want you to remember my sacrifice. I want you to remember that your hope is not in all of these other things. Your hope is in Jesus. So together, let's take the juice. Father God, we come before you and we remember your sacrifice. God, we thank you for the price that you paid on the cross so that we could be reunited, reconciled, and rescued, so that we could have a relationship with you, God, that you're not some distant God that left us to just fend for ourselves, but God, you were Emmanuel, God with us, and you demonstrated how much you love us by going to the cross, and then you rose from the dead so that we could have confident expectation, confident hope, confident assurance, God, that your promises are true, that you're faithful and that you're good, and that despite our circumstances that might seem chaotic, out of control, that we can have a peace that passes all understanding, to know that it might be rocky and shaky in our circumstances, but our anchor is you, Jesus, firm and secure. And so, God, we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Struggle against the wind. I've seen the dark in the broken places. Whoa. But I know in my soul, no matter how bad it gets, I'll be alright. There's hope in front of me. There's a light I still see. Yeah. There's a hand still holding me. When I don't believe it, I might be down, but I'm not dead. There's better days still up ahead. Even after all I've seen, there's hope in front of me, yeah, yeah. There's a place at the end of the storm you'll finally find, where the hurt and the tears and the pain all fall behind. You open up your eyes and up ahead there's a big sun shining. I know today you'll realize you'll be alright. There's hope in front of me. There's a light I still see. Yeah. There's a hand still holding me. Even when I don't believe it, I might be down, but I'm not dead. There's better days still up ahead. Even after all I've seen, there's hope in front of me. There's a hope still burning.
Northview, in 2015, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day. Happy New Year.